Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. David, you, my friend, are on the hot seat. Very good to see you again this morning.
Yes, and you. I saw your message on Slack. I feel a bit bad now for taking you away from all the things you need to get done.
Oh, no. You're not taking me away from anything. I've got plenty of things to do, but my first priority is always making sure that I'm here for office hours. And anybody that doesn't believe me and thinks that's a sales line, go review the transcripts and the videos for the last month and a half. The one thing I kept showing up for was office hours. Everything else in my life was absolute chaos, but I always made sure to show up to office hours. So if somebody's got a question, I will be here. But having said that, yes, if there's some open room and I can get out of here a little bit early, that would be great. Speaking of, if you guys hear any weird, crazy, loud noises, I literally have an electrician on the other side of my wall doing some work to this house that we just moved into. So I apologize if there are going to be any disturbances, but this has just kind of become my life. Whenever I have calls, I have somebody in the house delivering furniture, fixing shit. We've got, you know, a new pest control company dealing with the ant infestation we have in the new house. It never ends. This is now just a normal part of my life. I'm just used to the disturbances. So having said that, David, what are we talking about on your hot seat today?
Well, first off, I've got to just say on a similar note, I've been having some electricity problems today. So
oh, how
if I suddenly disappear, yeah. Funnily enough, I had internet problems before my last hot seat as well. So if I suddenly disappear, I've got my phone on standby and I'll dive back in as quickly as I can. But hopefully it's been okay the last hour or two. So
none of this surprises me, because if you're dealing with me, there will be problems and things will go wrong. I swear to God, I have this phenomenon happen all the time. Like with issues that we had with our car, all this other stuff, people say, wow, I've never seen this before. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you haven't. I see this all the time. It's just, it's the way that things work. I'm still thoroughly convinced that my life is the Truman Show and everybody is just enjoying all of the chaos behind the scenes. But Having said that, assuming you don't have electrical problems and I don't have electrical problems, what's your topic of conversation today?
Right. This is a follow-on from what we were talking about last week of an outreach message I'm writing to, it's for someone I know is in the very early stages of putting together a feature film, scripted feature, who I think would be fantastic to work with. And think for a first-time feature director, I think he'd be working on about the level I'm possibly a little bit higher than I've done already, but the single jump up, which I think would be ideal for me to take. So yeah, just wanted to get some clarity on what I'd written.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to be doing an outreach email teardown. Before we do that, I need to know a little bit more about the person that I'm reaching out to so I can do my best to crawl inside their brain. So who's Chris?
Okay. He has a reasonably popular YouTube channel doing mostly travel videos and documentaries. But he's mentioned numerous times that it's really scripted he wants to get into. He sort of fell into the YouTube career and it just did well, so he stuck with it. But scripted is where his heart really lies. Yeah, he mentioned recently that he's finally sort of knuckling down and making a start on. And the other thing is he feels that he's ready now. A bit like me, whenever he's talked about it, he seems to understand that this isn't something you just leap into. You need to prepare yourself and be at a point where you're ready to try and tackle it.
Gotcha. So this is somebody that you're reaching out to cold, only being aware of them through their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, let's hear this outreach email in the dulcet tones of future audiobook reader David Sprague.
Subject: your commitment to building your skills really resonates with me. Dear Chris, I first discovered your channel a few years ago during a bout of COVID that left me in need of virtual travel to perk myself up a bit. I enjoyed the video so much that I did something I never do and went back to the start of your channel to watch all the way through. Even from those early days, it was obvious that you were operating on a level beyond what I thought of as the typical YouTube standard. The writing, editing, cinematography, humor, the obvious care you were putting into your videos really made them stand out. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you for cheering me up when I was ill and for giving me a new travel destination to aspire to. What I found especially interesting, though, was hearing you talk about the efforts you make to improve your videos, actively studying various aspects of filmmaking. The results of this are obvious, as the quality has only improved further. I'm a film editor myself, so I'm all too familiar with how much work is required to make a video look effortless, and that developing your skills is a never-ending battle. When looking to build my own skills, I always try to go deeper than just the obvious. So not only have I dug down into editing and film theory, but also screenwriting and even acting to get a better appreciation of the whole storytelling and filmmaking process and how it relates to editing, all of which builds on what I've learned already after editing a number of short and low-budget features. You mentioned in a recent video that you're in the very early stages of working on a feature. Congratulations. I know this is something you've been wanting to do for a long time, and you'll be able to put everything you've learned over the last decade to good use. Having worked with first-time scripted feature directors before, I know what a commitment it is, the level of work involved, and just how terrifying it can be. It's incredibly rewarding too, though, and personally, I love digging down into a scene to find the heart of the story and collaborating with the director to realize their vision in a way that's even better than what they had imagined. I know you're likely a long way out from thinking about this, but when you are looking to shoot, do you have any idea whether you'll be advertising for crew or using people you already know? Because I'd love to be involved in helping you shape the story you want to tell.
All right. Having read that, how do you feel about it?
I think it covers a lot of the key points. I'm not convinced it sounds entirely like me. I think it sounds like me trying to write a more formal email rather than me. And I'm not convinced I'm presenting the story in a way that really would resonate with the sort of thing a first-time director would be looking for.
All right. Well, we're going to dig into all of these. The first one that you brought up is this idea about it doesn't quite feel like me, right? Before we kind of get in the nuts and the bolts, the details, the structure, do we hit all the points? I always want to know how this message feels. And if I were to assign how this message would look, I would say that this message looks business casual. Yes. It looks like you're at a, it's not overly formal. Like I don't see you reading this message from a podium wearing a tuxedo, right? It's not that crazy formal, but it also doesn't feel like you're chilling out at a networking event with other creatives and fellow filmmakers. Yes. So it doesn't feel overly formal and it doesn't feel like you're trying too hard and it's overly professional, but I agree that there's a level of nuance that you could make it feel a tad more casual and feel a bit more like David, like, hey, we're peers. You know, we both love movies and filmmaking and I really appreciated your work. And so the kind of broad stroke general note is when you do your next pass, whatever other notes I give you, do it with the idea in mind of I want to make this feel just a bit more casual and a bit more personal. Yeah.
Okay.
Not overly casual or overly personal, but I think this is, I don't know, if I'm going to give it a number, maybe 10 to 15% too formal, but it's not crazy formal. It doesn't feel like it's super buttoned up, right? It just feels like it's a little bit too formal, but you're not far off.
Cool.
So secondly, how do you feel about the length?
Too long.
Too long. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page. you've done enough of these hot seats and been around office hours for a long time now. What's my rule about the length of an outreach email?
As long as it needs to be.
It's as long as the story needs to be. Hey, Mitch, what's my rule to really clarify what's so important about the length of an outreach email? What do I always say?
Not sure I'm following 100%. I'm thinking about the shopping line.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know if this is the same kind of an email that we're talking about here.
Oh, so no, the reason I'm picking you out specifically, you'll know in a second, you'll remember. Feeling is that an outreach email has to be as long as necessary to tell the story. As an example, Braveheart doesn't need to be a minute shorter. Every Judd Apatow movie needs to be 20 minutes shorter, right? That's why I'm picking on you, because for anybody who doesn't know, Mitch is a longtime assistant editor in the world of Apatow films. So every time I say this, I always picture Mitch saying, "We tried. I promise we tried to make it shorter." Anyway, the point being that I don't have an assigned link. It's not like I say every single outreach message must be 373 words or shorter, right? It needs to be as long as necessary to tell the story. And I don't feel that your message is exceedingly long and goes on forever. I actually think that based on the things you're saying, this might be a little bit longer than kind of the normal message we draft. But yeah. I do feel like it is still a little bit too long. I think we could probably pare it down. So yep. Number one, we want to make it a little bit more conversational. Number two, we want to make it a little bit tighter.
Yep.
But now if we're going to get into the specifics, knowing those are the broad strokes, what we need to first identify is the mindset going into this message, right? So if we're thinking about who we're reaching out to, are we reaching out to a peer? Are we reaching out to an expert? Is this a potential mentor? Is this a gatekeeper? In what context do you feel you're reaching out to this person?
It's a gatekeeper.
Excellent. So knowing that is going to help us more clearly answer the next question. Who is this message about?
It's about them and That's trying right. to solve the problems they've got.
If this is about reaching out to a gatekeeper, it's not about you. And this is where a lot of students have stumbled in the past, partially because I didn't used to explain this well enough. I'm doing a much better job of this now, where they would reach out to a gatekeeper for a job and they would use the structure. Here's where I am now. Here's where I'm going next. Here's what's stopping me. Do the gatekeepers care about your hopes and dreams, David?
Nope.
Do they care about your obstacles and helping you overcome them? No, they don't. They have their own obstacles. They have their own goals and they need somebody to help them overcome their goals and achieve their vision. So understanding who this message is about, knowing that it's a gatekeeper, this message is not about you, it's about them. Does that change the basic formula of this message?
No.
It doesn't change the foundation. You're still going to use the same three components: value, story, ask. It does not matter what context any message is in. I'm always going to make sure that I provide some form of value unless the relationship is so warm at this point, it's just understood and I don't need to reiterate it.
Yeah.
Even with people that I've worked with for years, I still do my best to lead my message with value. So we always want to make sure we have value. We also want to make sure in this context, and by the way, when we reach out to gatekeepers, there's more nuance to whether or not we want value, story, and ask all in the same message. But let's presume for now we're going to put them all in the same message. You need to be asking something and starting a conversation. So now what are the three components of story and how are they going to change if we're reaching out to a gatekeeper?
For the mentor, it's here's where I am, here's where I'm going, and here's what's stopping me. Mm-hmm. For a gatekeeper, it's here's where I am in the sense of here's what I've done, and here's how that's useful to you.
Yes, you're really, really close. So it's still here's where I am now, but it's not so much here's my life story or my career journey. It's here's what I've been doing recently with the understanding that I believe this is relevant to you. Yeah. Here's where I'm going next, but now here's why that's valuable to you and why you should care.
Okay. Right?
So as far as the value, minus the fact that you need to hit those two broad stroke notes of make it a little bit more conversational, make it a little bit tighter, I think your value is fantastic. So one of the questions that I always ask that I think should be painfully obvious, but just for anybody that's listening that maybe hasn't heard this process before, how much of this message could you copy paste and send to anybody else that you wanted to work with?
None
of it, right? And that's a good thing. As I always talk about, you can't templatize building relationships. Once you get really good at it and you really understand the nuances, you can build formulas that are almost like templates. And it's almost like you feel like you're cheating. It's like, I feel like I'm saying the same things to everybody, but they're thinking, this is the most personalized message I've ever received. This is amazing. Case in point, how I've been scheduling all my calls with you. I have systems so I could manage. I think right now we're in conversation with well over 400 different people individually, one-on-one. I have systems in place to make sure that that isn't completely overwhelming for me and my team, but still I do my best to make them personalized. And when you're getting a response, you're getting a response from me and or Brian. And if it's a response from like coming from me, it's literally from me and I'm sending that response. So in a way, there are certain formulas and templates that I build behind the scenes, but it's still a personalized relationship, right? So in this case, there's no way that you could send this to anybody else. If you were to copy paste this and accidentally send it to the next director, they'd be like, what the hell is this message and what are you talking about? That's a really good thing, right? So that means that this is not an efficient message, but it's an effective message. So I really don't feel like we need to talk about value at all. I think the value, you did a great job in this. But I do want to talk about the structure of your story. So if I am Chris and I've gotten this message from you and I'm thinking, oh, I really appreciate this value. I'm so glad you read my or you watch my entire channel and you know all these things about me. It's so great that you know more about my goals. What do you do and what's your level of experience, i.e. where are you now? How much of that is in this message right now?
About half a sentence.
Yes. So right here, it says, I am a film editor myself. Is there anything else that I'm missing that answers the question, where are you now and why should I care about that?
Yeah, it's have I done a student film or have I won an Oscar?
Yeah, so right now I know you're a film editor. I know that you build your skills. You've dug into editing and film theory and screenwriting and acting. You've edited a number of shorts and low budget features. Yeah, so as far as I can tell,
that's about it.
You have some experience. You're not coming at this as, hey, I just downloaded this cool editing app on my phone. I'd love to make a movie with you. But do I have a clear understanding of what game you're playing and at what level?
No.
So what do I need to know so it's very clear to me? This is the game you're playing, i.e., are you dabbling? Are you a professional editor for a living? Are you entry level? Are you a veteran? What are some of the details that you can share about your story and where you are now in your career that I'm going to care about?
A bit more detail on the kinds of things I've edited instead of just dismissing it in half a line of, yeah, I've done some shorts and right, low budget features.
So don't worry about writing it for the message, but let's just have a conversation. And as you probably mm-hmm. know, this is the cheat code to just going back in the transcript and you've got your answer, right?
Yeah.
So for those that don't know anything about you, this is the first time you've ever been on a hot seat. Just give us the 2 to 3 minute spiel of what you're doing in your career. Where are you now?
After doing an editing master's, straight out of finishing that, I worked on my first low-budget feature with some of the people from uni as editor. And since then, I've been working on, wherever I can, on short films, some web series, and more low-budget features. mainly as editor, but I've done assistant and assembly work as well. Just getting a feel for the editing process and building my skills in it and how to work with directors and help translate or link what's in their head to what was shot to the best story we can make. I'm in a slightly weird point now where I could carry on doing that or try and take the jump to assisting on bigger studio films. So I feel like I've got both, or I've got the indie film side with a fair bit of experience, but I'm also hoping to then jump up to assisting on bigger films.
So how much of what you just shared as far as the shorts, you know, working with some of the your peers from, as you say, from uni. I love that phrase. That's such an over the pond phrase. Took me a while to understand what somebody meant when they said that. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. Anyway, forgive my American ignorance. So of all the things that you mentioned, how much of that are you doing professionally, i.e. it pays your bills, versus how much of it is dabbling and just picking away and learning the craft while you're doing something else professionally?
Ordinarily, it's my job. Been a bit different the last 18 months or so. But
sure. Yeah. No, that yes. I understand. I'm not talking about, are you currently employed and what have you done in the last 3 months? Because everybody's answer to that is I haven't done shit. Right. what I'm trying to gather, because it wasn't clear enough to me when you and I were talking a couple of minutes ago, it wasn't clear enough if this is what you do for a living.
Okay.
Right. Because you said, well, you know, immediately out of uni, I cut some stuff, some, you know, shorts with, you know, my fellow classmates. And then I worked on this lower budget indie project or this indie project. And all I'm thinking is this all stuff you're kind of doing on the side as passion projects, or are you making a living doing this?
Yeah.
And the simplest qualifier is, you know, I've been a professional editor for X number of years since I graduated with a master from insert name of school here. Right.
Yeah.
That changes your level of qualification.
Yeah.
So that's one of the pieces that I'm missing, is from the way that you described it and also the way that you write it, I'm not sure if you're doing this for a living or not. And the reason that's so important is that, you know, back in my day, you know, like back when we were, you know, using carrier pigeons, writing things on papyrus, as my son would say. But back in my day, if somebody said they were an editor, that's clearly what they did for a living, because you didn't have a laptop and an iPhone and an iPad where you could edit stuff and cut stuff together on your own time, right? If you said, I edit, well, clearly you're doing it for a living. But now the lines are so blurred that with everything you've written here, you could literally be a 14-year-old kid that has an iPad and has a bunch of free editing software. And I want to make it very clear, both your level of education and knowledge and also your professional experience. That needs to be much, much clearer in this message. That's the most, that's the most important component that needs the most work in this message. Yeah. I just don't understand what you do and how you can help me.
Yeah, I'm doing this professionally, not sat on Fiverr waiting for people to roll it.
Exactly. And I can't tell that from this message. And I could tell it a little bit better from our conversation, but even in our conversation, it wasn't clear enough.
Okay.
All right. So in all of the projects that you've worked on, and it's okay if the answer is no, but is there anything in the list of projects you've worked on that this person might recognize?
Unlikely.
And if it's unlikely,
not as editor.
How about companies?
Yes, possibly.
The reason being, I'm just looking for some form of credibility marker where very quickly in the fewest number of words, they can make safe assumptions about your abilities.
Okay. Right? Like, it would be the last feature I worked on was for Rebellion, who own Judge Dredd and 2000 AD. And I think their next film is going to be with Duncan Jones.
Okay. So having said that, if you were to say my previous film as an assistant editor or whatever the role was for Rebellion, immediately I know you're working at a professional level.
Yes.
Right. It's the difference between I've edited for over 20 years versus I've edited for over 20 years. My previous show was Cobra Kai for Netflix.
Yeah.
So much more information, same number of words. So I'm just trying to find whatever that simplest qualifier is. And one of the stumbling blocks that so many people have in these messages, well, I don't want to feel like I'm name dropping and I'm bragging about what I've worked on. I don't want to list all my credits or my awards. And I don't want you to do that either. But if you swing the pendulum in the opposite direction, people have no idea how you can be valuable to them. So there has to be enough information that in the fewest number of words possible, I understand and can make safe assumptions about how you might be valuable to me. So right now, that's by far the biggest component missing of this message. If you were going to do one thing to this message, it's fix that. So now let's presume you've gone through and you've given me more context so I understand what game you're playing and at what level. Mm-hmm. Do I understand where you're going and why?
A tiny bit with the idea of making an effort to improve and build on skills rather than just floating through life, but not with any specifics.
Right. So right now I can tell that you're definitely committed to the craft. But again, at least with the information I have now, you could be equally as committed to the craft, getting ready for your freshman year of video class in high school. Right.
Yes.
So it says something about your character, but it still doesn't tell me how you can be valuable to me. So now let me break down my own logic. If I don't care about your hopes and dreams, why would I care about where you're going next?
You'd only care about that if that helps you in some way.
I care if you're going the same place that I am. If we're on a similar journey and I'm looking for a partner in that journey, where you're going next is very relevant to me. Mm. So if we're talking about specifically reaching out to Chris, this YouTuber who fell into a successful YouTube channel, and geez, what a horrible problem to have right now, right? Everybody would love to fall into a successful YouTube channel right now. But if his problem is that he successfully fell into being a YouTuber, but he really wants to work in scripted as a director, how is his journey similar to yours? And why would he care about where you're going next? How is it valuable to him?
Because he wants to take the next step up and has been, if not held back, then has found it challenging to get there.
What do you imagine some of his similar obstacles might be that you are also facing as far as getting to the next level in your filmmaking career?
Knowing the right people, not knowing where to start, not knowing what you don't know.
All right. So I would agree with those. Those are relatively surface level and generic.
Okay.
I want to go a layer deeper. What do you think specifically for Chris, other than everybody, they need to know more people. It's hard to build a network, et cetera, right? All of you, everybody, we're all sharing the same challenges on some level. But specifically for Chris, who is a successful YouTuber with a travel channel, what do you think one of his challenges is becoming a scripted director?
Everyone's just going to see him as the YouTube guy.
Dude, you're a YouTuber. You do travel videos. What are you talking about? You're going to do scripted, right? Even though you don't want to become a director specifically, can you empathize with that?
Yeah, definitely. Ow. There was a period of a couple of years where I kept getting DIT jobs. And I took them because I needed the money. And didn't matter how many times I said to the crew, I'm an editor, really. I keep getting called up by the same people to do more DIT jobs.
Mm-hmm. So having gone through that process, can you both empathize with where he might be with this transition to scripted, but also be able to provide some guidance and support as a peer?
I would hope so. Yeah.
So if that's where you're going next and it's similar to where he's going next, now you all of a sudden become an ally on that journey.
Yeah, it's right. it's more than just offering your services on the professional side. It's almost reversing it and becoming a bit of a mentor to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So one of the things that I have found to be true over and over in many of my relationships is that when I reach out to somebody that I'm looking to, that at first can be a mentor or can be an expert, I find that over time as I build that relationship, it becomes reciprocal. Where they're a mentor to me in certain respects and I'm a mentor to them, right? But in the world of even reaching out to gatekeepers directly for jobs, yes, let's presume that Chris is going to be hiring an editor for his feature film. He doesn't have it all figured out. He might think he has it all figured out because a lot of people certainly do, but let's presume he doesn't. He's going to need somebody that can guide him too, especially if he's a first-time director. So you said something here that I think is really, really interesting and both valuable to Chris. You say, having worked with first-time scripted feature directors before, Why do you think that's so important that you've worked with a first-time scripted feature director?
Because I know what the process is like for them.
You know what the process is like, and I bet you've already seen a lot of the problems created by first-time directors.
Yeah.
Right? Now, even though, and I don't know Chris at all, so if anybody's listening to this saying, God, why are you picking on Chris? Like, I don't know Chris, right? Like, Chris is just a representation of so many people that are out there. There are some first-time directors that if you said, here are all the challenges that I'm going to help you encounter and overcome, they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to have any of those problems. I know what I'm doing, right? Yeah. So they might not know what they don't know. But if this is somebody that's really concerned about this journey and they want somebody alongside them that can help them proactively predict and overcome some of these challenges, this is not then just about your journey. This becomes valuable to Chris, right?
Yeah.
So that's really if there's one or two significant changes that I want you to take in this next draft, the first is making it very clear, here's where I am now and why you should care.
Yeah.
But also here's where I'm going next and how I can be valuable on a similar journey that you're having. Right. So if he's on this similar journey of making his first feature film, where I'm going next is here. Along the way, here are some of the things that I picked up that could be valuable to you. Right. So if the simplest example is I'm looking to work on more credible, larger feature films as an editor and working with talented directors. Right. That's the whole reason I'm reaching out to you, because where I'm going next, you're perfect for where I'm going next. Right. But having said that, I want to come back to the most important thing of all about this message, and that's who it's about. Right? This is one of the mentalities that so many people get stuck in when they see opportunities and they want to reach out for jobs. And they think, oh my God, this is perfect for me. Why does that not work?
Because they don't care.
Because they don't care if it's perfect for you. So what I want to know, and you have to honestly believe it with the information that you have, do you believe that you're perfect for Chris?
I think I could be. Yeah.
That's the story that you need to tell. All right. So here's where I am now. Here's where I'm going next. And here's why that's valuable to you. And you're not going to say it in these words, but I believe I'm perfect for you and I can make your project better and I can solve your problems. Right. So if those are the words underneath the words, this person's thinking, how the hell did you fall into my inbox? You and I need to talk.
Yeah.
And if anybody thinks that I'm completely and totally blowing smoke and this doesn't work and it's all bullshit, Mitch, I believe you literally used this exact strategy, did you not, a few months ago?
To a certain extent, except for that my reach out was very short and concise. It was a little bit more just kind of, I definitely put value into it. I thought about what I was sending out, but I think we all agreed that it was a rather generic email that I sent. So could have been better, but. Yes, to a certain extent, yes.
But at the end of the day, was at least underneath the surface, and yes, you and I even workshopped this on a hot seat about if you're going to do this again, here's what you could improve. But underneath the surface, I recognize that this is a problem that you have right now. I might be the solution to the problem. Is it worth talking? And you basically landed yourself a feature gig, cutting a feature, correct?
That's how I put myself out there to that extent. That was like, here I am at your disposal. I've got stuff that you'd be very interested in.
Right. It wasn't look at my resume. This would be perfect for me. Yeah. It looks like you might need this service. I'm providing this service. Is it worth connecting? And then you quote unquote got lucky and just happened to land yourself, a feature editing gig.
Correct. Yeah. I didn't. Well, that was part of my objective was to kind of keep it short as well. Mm-hmm. That I believe that to a certain degree exuded a certain amount of confidence. Mm-hmm. That it was just like, here I am, take a look, see what you think. I didn't attach a resume. I think I put the link to my website, but I can't remember if I did that for sure. But it was certainly, trying to give the impression that, you know, like I'm a peer, we're on the same level. I'm just asking. I'm not coming to you on my knees. Please give me a chance.
Yeah, you were not soliciting yourself. Correct. It was more a manner of it. It seems that you have this problem, and it seems that I might be the solution you're looking for. Right. And that's the approach that I want you to take, David, is I really want this to be an appeal to, I see that you might have this need coming up. I feel like this could be mutually beneficial for both of us, and I might be able to solve your problems. So I feel like you're kind of sort of already doing that. I just want the structure to be a little bit more clear that here's where I am now. This is where I'm going next, relevant to you. And here's how I can be valuable to you along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange trying to feel like I'm getting a balance between the confidence, like Mitch said, but without coming across as arrogant. Mm-hmm. But I think if I've told the story well enough to make it obvious why I'd be useful, I feel like just doing that well should negate any worries of arrogance.
Agreed. So there are two lines that I want to make sure that we're walking deftly, but we're not crossing. The first one is the line between confidence and arrogance.
Yeah.
Confidence is, I've been a film editor for 20 years. My most recent project is Cobra Kai for Netflix. This is what I've done, right? Arrogance is, I've worked on so many amazing projects in the last 20 of years, most of which you probably heard of. Here's a list of my awards. Every director and showrunner I've ever talked to says this is the best cut they've ever seen. It's like, slow your roll, dude. Like, what the hell, right? That's the difference between confidence and arrogance. There's also a second line that I don't want you to cross, which is the difference between confidence and laziness, which is, hey, so you're looking for an editor. Look, if you need anybody, let me know, right? That's now the line of like, well, you didn't even put in any effort whatsoever to give me any sense of where you are, how you can be valuable. It's just, you're playing the numbers game. If you sent that message to 100 directors, one or two are probably going to respond, right? It's efficient, but it's not even remotely effective. So I want to make sure that you're confidently telling the story and you're doing it succinctly and a little bit more casual, but I want to make it clear what that story is. So here's the last thing that I want to break down really, really briefly, is that I feel, given the level of value you have and the quality of your story and how similar it could be and how useful it could be to Chris, I think there's a world where the best message is going to be too long.
Okay.
Right. So here's the reason I bring this up. I don't want you to worry about the length of the message until we feel like it's the right story. Then we can start to pare it down. But one of the strategies that you can use, and you can use this in any context, but it works much better when you want to take the gatekeeper approach, is you break this down into a series of messages. Okay. So what you can do is the first message, and this is a really good strategy. The harder somebody is to reach or get their attention, the busier they are, the more successful they are. What I'll do to start the gatekeeper conversation is what I call the mic drop. The mic drop is 100% value, 0% ask. Okay. So without worrying about the nuances of all the notes that we just discussed, let's assume that this is the message you are going to send. How could we revise this and break it into pieces so you can send a mic drop to elicit a response first, then share your story and your bigger ask?
I think the first two paragraphs, certainly the first paragraph, possibly the first two, because I was trying to shift it to still have a bit of value, but then start to relate it to how there was a parallel between how we approach things and start to bring my story in.
Right.
But the pure value would just be basically that first paragraph.
Agreed. So here, I do believe this is providing value, but this is your segue. This is your transition to, here's where your story is interesting because it's similar to my story. And this is really the reason that I'm reaching out, right? So it's I can read into this very easily. This is where the conversation is beginning.
This is what I'm wanting to be talking about.
So if you wanted to start the conversation, you could literally send this and maybe tie up, you know, something slightly different to make it feel like it's concluded a little bit more. But essentially, you could send this, and I would say there's an extremely high likelihood this at least gets a response, right? And it's probably going to be something very simple. Hey, David, so glad that I was able to make you feel a little bit better. Sorry you had COVID a few years ago, and I'm really glad you're enjoying the channel.
Yeah.
Right? That's now your chance to respond and say, one thing that I wanted to add, what I really found interesting about your videos, ... Now you can transition into the rest of your message. And now you're not going to feel like your first message is going to be too overwhelming. So if I have to break it into a series of steps, knowing that it's going to lead to the gatekeeper approach, and or this person is probably already being solicited, they're very busy, they're hard to reach, I'll break it down into the series of steps to make it more bite-sized, easier to digest.
Yeah, and then it doesn't feel... It's a nice message to hopefully make a creative's day, rather than going, hey, yeah, all this good stuff, great. Now, what I really want to talk about is... Yeah, and then trying to solicit work.
Exactly. So I would venture to guess that without knowing Chris or knowing this travel channel at all, he probably doesn't have a lot of people that reach out saying, I liked your video so much, I started from the beginning and watched all of them. And somebody that recognizes the quality of the craft. Right? That it takes one to know one. You're only going to recognize the quality of the craft if you understand the craft to some level.
Yeah.
Right? Understanding and being able to talk about those nuances is different than, dude, love your channel, awesome graphics. Anybody can say that, right? But if you understand the nuances and the challenges of the writing, the editing, the cinematography, the humor, the care you put into it, he's already going to get a sense that maybe I'm talking to a peer that recognizes these things at a deeper level than most.
Yeah.
So once you have your full message put together, if we feel that it's too long, but all the story is there, we might think about breaking this into pieces and taking the mic drop approach to get started.
Yeah. There's only the slight worry, obviously, that then you just never hear back. But I suppose if you don't hear back from just a pure value message, you're probably not going to hear back from anything else either.
Not necessarily. Having been in this community long enough, and I'm sure this group could probably let you know in the chat, do you think that if I send a message and I don't get a response, that I say, oh, well, I guess they don't want to respond to me. I'm going to move on to somebody else now.
Yeah, you follow up.
There's a system for that. So I'm not worried at all if you send this mic drop message and you don't get a response in 2 weeks. I'm not even remotely concerned about that being a problem.
So with breaking it down, it doesn't necessarily matter whether they respond or not. You can still follow up with the rest of the message on the 2 week.
Exactly. And what I wouldn't do, this is where this becomes a lot more nuanced. This is where there isn't just one formula or flow chart for everything. Based on what I teach with the expert approach or the mentor approach, where you reach out, you know, ask a question or two and you don't get a response. Essentially, after 2 weeks, we send what I call the friendly guilt trip, right? It's like, hey, just wanted to make sure this didn't fall into your inbox. Do you think it makes sense to send that word for word if you're dropping only value in somebody's inbox?
No,
why not?
Because you haven't given any indication there was anything to follow up with.
You didn't ask anything. I don't even know if you want a response, right? So if you were to send 100% value and say, hey, it's been a couple of weeks, I just wanted to check to make sure you got this because you haven't thanked me yet for my nice message. Like, what? Right? So what do you think you can do 2 weeks after if you don't get a response?
Follow up with starting to bring in the story, but with a vastly condensed value at the start to kick it off again.
You should be teaching this stuff. What do you need me for? Yes, that's exactly what I would do, right? The only difference is that I would add more value on top of it, which, by the way, you're already doing, right? So a couple of weeks later, you could say, first of all, just wanted to make sure that this didn't get lost in your inbox. But secondly, beyond what I already shared, it occurred to me that what I really find, the reason I'm so compelled by your channel is all of these things. The fact that you study these aspects of filmmaking, et cetera, et cetera. So what you're doing is you're continuing the message, but you're leading with just a little bit more value, right? So I dropped the mic. Nobody noticed I dropped the mic. So I'll drop it a little louder, right? Then I'll continue with the story, but I'm not just going to copy paste what you have in here or what you're going to have in your next version, a drastically condensed version. Because what you want to do is start the conversation. You don't want to have the entire one-sided conversation. You just want to start it, which is why I always try to make it as exceedingly simple as possible for somebody to respond. Everybody thinks this is my one shot, so I have to get it all out on the page because it's the only time that they're going to pay attention to me. And that's the worst mistake you can make. So if you have to, condense this down into multiple pieces. Yeah. But before we can figure out how to break it down into pieces, we want to make sure that all the component parts are sound and ready to go. So for the next draft, I would do all that we talked about. And if it's too long, it's too long, and we'll figure out how to break it into pieces.
Yeah. This is already reduced from what my first draft was. That was
You should see the first drafts of my newsletters that go out. Every single one should say, sorry, it's so long, didn't have time to make it shorter. Most of my newsletters are almost twice the length before I hit the send button. And I go through and I'm like, yeah, this is all great. I need to cut half this shit. And I still have trouble keeping it under 1,000 words. But when I look at the word count, when I write my first draft, I'm like, this is ready to go out. 1,900 words. No. And I have to go through and I have to cut half of it. And a lot of times I break it into multiple newsletters. But I would rather you write the best version rather than the shortest version. Then we figure out how to break it into pieces.
Yeah.
So how clear are you on your next action steps for this outreach message?
Very clear. Yeah. Pass to try and make it seem a bit more conversational, a little bit less formal. Clarify where I am, just with a bit more, with more specifics, things he might recognize, clarify how long I've been doing this and been doing it professionally. And then, it's been a lot to take in. There was something else I was going to mention. Those were the two main things. Clarify the story, where I am, how it's useful to him. And yes, give him a good indication that I have seen other people. I have been in a very similar position to him, even if the specifics aren't the same. And I've navigated through it, and I've seen other people in his position and helped them navigate through it.
Yes, nailed it. Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing the next draft.
Yeah, we'll be writing it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Always appreciate the hard work.
Very useful.
And wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I really think that the branding class, as we discussed, by far going to help you dig much, much deeper into getting much better at this. It's essentially this over and over and over with much more detail and nuance for 10 weeks.
Yeah, I'd look at the details when you sent them. And yeah, I'll turn up to the open house next week and get the details. But I'm thinking about that. I think you might be right.
Good at this. Essentially, what I'm going to be giving you is fuel for the fire you've already started.
Cool.
So I think you have a really good foundation to build on to really accelerate this progress. So
yeah, that would be good to be able to clarify that sort of thing.
Cool. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing the next version.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for investing both your time and energy listening to today's show. If you were inspired by this conversation, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and most importantly, leave a review, because that helps move the show to the top of iTunes and get our message out there to those who need it the most. Simply visit optimizeyourself.me/subscribe to never miss another episode. Lastly, stay safe, healthy, sane, and most importantly, be well.